This club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Sorry for smiling there.
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. And that's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How we doing? How we doing? It's almost the dog days of summer, sir. One game away. But the season, this nightmare of a season is finally nearing a close. One game left coming up on the weekend, next weekend, against the Eagles of South London. So we are headed there for that and more. Looking forward to it. Looking for the end of the season. Erik ten Hag. He starts tomorrow. That's the news. Won the title with Ajax. Lock it up. Manchester United youth, under-18s, pick up the UEFA Youth Cup. Hey, we got some silverware in the ranks. Not all bad. A lot to look forward to, sir. Give me some optimism heading in to this summer transfer window.
Look, I mean, big game away, Selhurst Park. Alex, you know it very well. You've had a few dark ales in the away end at Selhurst Park.
More than a few.
The away fans are going to be singing, there's something to play for in this game with West Ham pipping City for 1 point. So look, we have to, you want to play Conference League? You want to play Europa League? I mean, at this point, it's clear we're trying to make Hans and Franz, baby. And that's the way it's going to be. So we're going to be in the way and cheering on the lads. It's been a long time for us. Obviously with COVID, I had a child. I had the birth of my son interrupt one of our trips earlier as well in 2019. So it's been a while since I've been out there. Cannot wait. I know all the songs by heart, and we're going to be singing until our voices are gone. Cannot wait to get across the pond, sir. It's a special time to cheer for United any way you have it. Could be a rough year, but just to get in the crowd, sing your heart out, support the lads. There's nothing better than that.
I like to say I was there for the fall, the lowest of the lows, at least this season. You know, you could definitely go lower. Shout out 1972 and 73 when we got relegated. But us getting blitzed 5-0 by the Scousers 5 weeks before they finally pulled the plug on the Ole Gunnar Solskjaer experiment. But that being said, sir, we still got something to play for, I guess. I guess we don't want Conference League. It does sound bad. It sounds worse than just regular Europa League. And like you said, it actually does matter. West Ham, the Hammers, picked up a point today against the City, keeping that title race nervy. But either way, we have to basically win to ensure that they can't, you know, get ahead of us in the point tally if they were to win. So, big, I guess it's a big game in South London against the Eagles, sir. And they're not a small Eagles team. This is not like the Eagles of yesterday. They're actually playing some very good football under Vieira with a couple of their Chelsea loanees, but they're a solid team. They've shown us in the past they're a solid team. They beat us up in recent years. So it's going to be a big match and an opportunity for the ARD community to get on the road. We were supposed to go this weekend to see United play Chelsea today. Instead, Chelsea decided to go to the FA Cup, bottle it against who else? The Scouse Bastards. And here we are staring down the barrel of a gun, sir. How much have you heard about the quadruple? More than I ever want to hear about.
This guy, get this guy a Scouse Bastard. Get this guy a Scouse Bastard podcast here for a second here. As far as United is concerned, Selhurst Park, not an easy place to go play. I've been to a match there. It wasn't a United match there, but a proper old English stadium. You love to see that. Dark ales flowing. Stadiums, like, looks like it's falling apart. You got the old billboards, you know, buy coal, buy English coal on the touchline. The fans are in full voice. South London's number one. I'm just pumped for Crystal Palace. This could be a proper English football game. Bust up in training. Are the lads going to be able to turn up? Are they going to wilt and then go into Conference League? If you really do think about it, this is a big spot for Manchester United. Unfortunately, West Ham with a huge point, and we could literally, in a horrible season, just bottle it and go Europa Conference, or we can finish one game, 90 minutes, fight for it, get Europa League. Huge for Manchester United. Obviously, West Ham would have to win as well to, like, spoil us. But you want to control your own destiny in this spot. And so this is a little saving grace. You know, a year we thought we could win the title, you know, one game we could fight for it, get Europa League, end on a positive. Ten Hag already coming in, canceled his Ajax contract early. So end on a positive. Let's go. Impress the new manager. Big spot for Manchester United. So of all the fans who are checked out, I know there are a few. This is a game to pay attention to. This is a big game, big opponent, and it's away. Oh, I'm a little nervy.
You should be. This is a lackluster United side. But that being said, Erik ten Hag, you called it. Well, we're going to get more into the news about the new man. Cancel his contract. They won the title, I think it was yesterday. Lock it up, and now it's on to real business, which is like fixing this leaky ship, this former titan of global football, Manchester United, and bringing us back to the promised land, Erik ten Hag, Ten Hag's Ren Army. And guess where Ten Hag is going to go first? He's going down to South London to Selhurst to see these lowly Reds play and see if they can pick up 3 points against a mid-table side, sir, because Eric's going to be in the audience, in the arena. It's going to be a big showing for the players that want to have an impact under the new manager next season. There are some that are putting their hand up saying, I'm here to stay. There's noise. The Ronaldo, your boy CR7, wants to stick around. He thinks he'll be instrumental in the rebuild. We certainly envision it that way. But like you said, it's not like we have nothing to play for. You know, it's not title. It's not even top four. Holy shit, it's bad. But it's top six, and it's better than top seven, because as bad as Europa League is, as bad as Thursday Night Football is, we could be playing Thursday Night Football against teams you've never even heard of before. Countries you've never been to before. So let's finish the top six, push on from there. I think this team has a lot of potential with a good coach and the right structure around him to finish much higher than six. But that being said, let's end this horrible season on a positive note and then head into a big, big rebuild where the onus is going to be on, you know, outside the dressing room of the players. It's going to be on that front office, bro. There's never been more weight on their shoulders. This is like 2013 rebuild after Fergie retired and Eddie Woodward just fucking bottled that window. Murtaugh, I don't think he's going to bottle it like that, but there's big expectations and, you know, he has headwinds against him. Let's be honest. Like, there's a lot of dead wood in that squad that needs to be moved that they're not going to want to move. Like, it's not going to be easy to move a Tony Martial who's completely overpaid and no one's going to pay him $250K a week. It's just not going to happen. So we're going to take some knocks, if you will, if we're going to move out the players that he's going to want to move out. Because I imagine he's going to thin this squad down, and that is going to mean taking some losses.
Speaking of losses, quick PSA for the podcast. You like the American Red Devils. We are for fans by fans. Sign up for our Discord channel. We have over 700 Muppets like you talking their biased fan perspective from the couch. Check out our Discord channel. There's invites pinned on our website as well as our Twitter page. It's an awesome community. Sir, it's been the highlight of this horrible season. Please check out our Discord. Also, check out our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/AmericaRedDevils. We do a behind-the-scenes podcast episode every single month. If you want more American Red Devils content, sign up for our Patreon. There's four tiers. We give away pins, stickers, scarves, shirts, you name it. Again, we don't have any private sponsors on the podcast. It's just us doing this the direct fan support route. If you want to support independent fan content, check it out. It means a lot to us. Please support us on Patreon. Also, check out our website, www.AmericanRedDevils.com. Like I said, we have our Discord invite up there. We have our store, and we have amazing fan-generated blog content about the new manager, transfers, everything under the sun. Support fans. Speak in their minds, sir. That biased fan take, we're all about it. Please check out our website. Tell them about iTunes reviews.
Reviews, they go a long way. No matter where you listen to the American Red Devils, a 5-star review, it helps us get found organically, and that is massive. And even better, we're giving away free ARD gear from now until the end of time, sir. All you have to do is write a 5-star review wherever you listen to the American Red Devils podcast and send a screenshot of that review to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your mailing address, and I will personally pick, pack, and ship some free ARD gear. Send it straight to your door anywhere around the world. We mean it. Just send us a cheeky 5-star review. It goes a long way to helping us get found organically, like other Muppets like yourself, so they can join the Discord, check out the blog. So the Discord is ripping. I'll tell you what, I wish the Discord was ripping like this team could be ripping because it's been a hell of a year. Can we just take a second to say it's been a hell of a year?
Yeah, it's
a hell of a year.
My main concern is the Scouse Bastards and how much silverware they're going to lift this year. That's my, as far as United, like, you got Europa League, great, but then you can't be having a like a potential quadruple. You can't be having, they got to be bottling something, you know. It's, we'll get into that a little bit later, but you talk about the first team. It has been a rough season, but there's a bright spot. Manchester United U18s, they won the UEFA Youth Cup against Nottingham Forest 3-1. Garnacho, unbelievable. That penalty, the celebration, the Ronaldo C. He actually got dropped from Argentina. People are thinking it's because of the Messi disrespect. But you want to hold it in contrast.
Is that true? Did he get dropped?
It's a joke. He did get dropped from the Argentina team. But as far as the U18s, put it in contrast. They make no money compared to the first team. They did it in front of 60,000 for the badge, everyone behind them. They win in an emphatic way, 3-1, lift the cup. Look what it means to the youth. And then you look at the first team driving pink Lamborghinis, not giving a hoot about just playing the game. It's really the stark contrast between these two sides. And I'll tell you what, the fans in the stands for the UEFA Youth Cup, I mean, that's what Manchester United is all about. That game shows you what United's about, what the fans are about, what that badge is about.
100%. That was one of the highlights of this season, was watching that game on Wednesday in a packed Old Trafford, like you said, set the record for the most highest attendance at a youth cup or a youth game in general in England. So putting some pride back on the badge. And you know what? Talking about that philosophy, the philosophy of Ralf Rangnick when he came in, when he first joined the club, I think back in November, they spoke to how he liked to pick up players on a second or third contract instead of fourth or fifth, right? Players that were hungry. There is hunger in those ranks. And I think, like you said, too many pink Lambos, too many renewals of players that should have been shipped out years ago. And that just led to complacency in the squad. The level of complacency we've seen in this squad of overplayed players is such a division from what we saw the youth team. All of them looking to make a mark, right? You said, like, getting paid basically nothing or next to nothing, and going out there just to kind of show what they have to display. And we need more of that. So that's why this summer is such a big, big moment for the club, right? Like, there's going to be certain onus on Eric. There's going to be a lot more onus on the front office, because it's going to be about, like, getting as many of the bad personalities out that have shown that they ain't got it and they're not willing to fight for it. And all these kids are not going to be ready, but a couple will be, and then a couple will need to go on loan, and there'll be a couple on loan that are ready to kind of get brought back in, but that needs to be reincorporated. I have to believe that will be a big part of Eric's philosophy at Manchester United, is like reprioritizing young, hungry players that want to prove it, and not just like, hey, we've made it because I make 300K a week.
Hey, that's what Rangnick wanted to do, and it didn't go well. So I'm just giving the other side of the coin there. After the Youth Cup, let's just jump into the table. Let's look at where we are at with everything. This is, of course, as of today, Man City 37 games on 90 points. The Scouse Bastards, 2 games in hand, 86 points. They're 4 points behind City. I have to make the note that Mahrez had the penalty to win it and pretty much decide the title, and that was the weakest penalty. As soon as he stood up to the spot, I didn't understand why he was going to be taking that. I would have gone with Jesus. Number one shitty fan over here right now. If you think of the doors that are left open to this Scouse Bastard team, penalty in the 86th minute and Mahrez can't put it back, and that leaves the door open for the Scouse Bastards to arguably have a shot at the title. Now, if Shitty beat Villa, by the way, managed by Steven Gerrard, you know, you like that storyline, the universe, the stars, sir, getting nervous here. I'm just telling you.
It's at home.
I know, but
it doesn't really matter because the stadium is
always
empty.
City players look like they're ready to bottle it. They did look like they were ready to bottle it today. It took an own goal for them to get even. Title race. I am nervous about that because obviously we can't have the Scouse Bastards equaling our 20 times. Chelsea, 70 points. They didn't do us any favors in the FA Cup final. Mason Mount, everyone thinks he's the next Messi. He's so amazing. The guy's scared to take penalties. And, oh, by the way, he gifts the Scouse Bastards the FA Cup. So, I mean, as far as Chelsea are concerned, absolute jokers. Tottenham, 68 points. They pipped Arsenal, but Arsenal do have two games in hand on 66. It'll be interesting to see if Arsenal bottle or Tottenham are able to take it. And then, obviously, behind them, Manchester United, 37 games played, 58 points. And then West Ham, 37 games, 56. So the situation would be if West Ham beat – who is West Ham playing the last day, sir? Do you have that in front of you?
Yeah, give me a second.
So if West Ham win, they get 59.
They're playing Manchester, Brighton on the south coast, sir.
So that's a difficult fixture for them. But the key is they have the goal differential. They have 11 plus 11. We have plus 1, which is like probably the saddest thing I've ever seen for Manchester United in a long time. As far as United, it's pretty much win and we're in. If we draw, then we have to make sure that West Ham doesn't win because then they'll pip us on goal differential. So it is a tight shout for the last game, something we'll be falling live while we're in the stands at Selhurst Park. And obviously Wolves are out of it at that point. But Brighton's going to be a tricky fixture for Moyes. And Moyes, you know, he likes to bottle. So I'm not too worried about that. I'm more nervous about the Scouse Bastards somehow pipping the league. And if they have the league, and if they have the FA Cup, and if they have the EFL Cup, and they're going into the Champions League final, I think they're going to win it. I really do. I just don't see a situation where they win EFL, FA Cup, the league, and they go play the Champions League and they lose. I just don't see it.
They got to win the league. They got to win the league first. And that's the biggest hurdle left is like City, all they have to do is beat Villa at home. I know all you have to do, but you could definitely see, like you said, Stevie G getting a draw, and that would be enough, assuming the Scousers win out their next two games. But, sir,
yeah, but
speaking of which,
thing,
Chelsea
missed.
Should have beat him yesterday.
Mara's missed, but that's the point.
Chelsea should.
It's something
it was
the Pooley, stars.
Bro, Pooley should have had at least a brace. Like, he had the game. He could have killed the game in the first half. Chelsea looked pretty. I mean, to be said, like, this does not look like the Scousers side that was trouncing us. Like, Van Dijk went down. Mo went down. They did not look like the best side. So you thought Chelsea would do us a favor yesterday. They did not. I'm hoping City will do us a favor. Like, for Christ's sakes, all they have to do is win at home and they win the league.
I've watched this game a long time.
I know. I feel it too.
I've watched this game a long time. Now, they obviously didn't deserve, like, they didn't deserve to win the FA Cup final. They, like, were gifted that. Like, Chelsea literally, like, gave it to them. They had plenty of opportunities. They didn't finish. The Mason Mount can't finish. That was the weakest penalty I've ever seen. It's like crazy. Like, Chelsea literally said, here's the FA Cup. And guess what Shitty's doing? Shitty's like, here's the league. Because if Mahrez finishes that why did Mahrez miss the penalty? You understand? It's because the Scouse Bastards are going to win the league. It's inevitable. It's just the way the universe is telling you, like, NHD, like, is going down like this. And honestly, I might need to take a break from the pod.
If they, like, win the quad, we're taking a summer
quad,
break. I'm taking a summer break.
If they win
we're
the quad,
a summer break.
If they win the quad, the pod is probably good. I'm gonna need like a month off to just like sulk, because like I don't want to care. And it's so funny. I go through my head, like, I was watching the FA Cup final. I'm just like so mad that they won. I'm just like mad, and it really
because Chelsea
me.
Had it. Like, they had to win that game. Pooley, had, come on, Pooley. He had a hat trick in that game. You could have,
like,
easily. Had
they don't deserve it. I'm like, they don't deserve it, because when we won the FA Cup, like, you know, it's different. When we won the treble, like, obviously Champions League coming back or whatever, but we didn't get gifted it in penalties or anything like this. And it's like, especially with Shitty bottling it and all this stuff, and it's just going to be like, they're just going to somehow just like luck their way into like this historic achievement, and they'll always be considered better than United forever. And it's just one of those things that would literally just break my heart. So what's worse, like cheering on a shitty team? Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, that is rough to cheer for City and like root for Mahrez to hit the penalty and watch him miss. It's like, sorry, it's a rough go right now.
Sorry,
I'm really
doing that for the last couple of years, bro. I mean, I was rooting for Chelsea yesterday. I don't like that. I was rooting for City. What, today? I don't like that. I'm going to root for City next weekend. I mean, that's the problem, is when United's non-entity. We're not relevant. We are like so far out of, we're not even fucking relevant. We're like 30 points off of them. We're an embarrassment. It's distasteful, because instead we should be playing a part in like ruining the fun, and instead we have to like worry about them dropping points. So our victories from 25 years ago still stand, right? Like our achievement, which is incredible, 99 treble, like it is an unbelievable achievement.
But it's going to be.
But they've been talking about it for 10 fucking years that they were going to win the quad or City's going to win the quad. They always say it. They love to puff them up. But come on,
it's there.
Pep is melting. You can tell Pep is melting. He's like, he was like taking the dig at Evra, like we destroyed you. Like he's melting down. You could already see it. Like after they blew it against Real. He's in full meltdown mode. Get him another Erling Haaland.
No, they look like, I think, like, and here's the thing. When you look at the stars, it's like Steven Gerrard, Liverpool legend, will be the one to, like, do City, to, like, give the Scousepasters the title and give them the quad. It would just be, it's going to be written in history as, like, Steven Gerrard's Villa does the job for Liverpool. And I'm just saying, if you had to write the book. It's just like you had to write the story of 99. You had to write the story of, like, the comeback, the FA Cup, like everything. Like everything had to go right. Everything had to be exactly in place. And unfortunately, I'm seeing it live right now.
You're gonna need more than a month off, John. This guy's gonna need a long.
We're never sleeping. Pod never sleeps. Well, I'll tell you, I'll be in a bad mood on those podcasts. So maybe everyone else wants to take a break. But let's get into it. Let's focus on Manchester United. Although that does affect all Manchester United fans. Crystal Palace versus Manchester United, Selhurst Park, Sunday, May 22nd, 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern, and 4 p.m. local time. What a generous kickoff. Everyone kicks off at the same time.
Hey, John, what's planned for that day? You got anything else on the schedule that Sunday?
We'll get to that a little later as far as maniac. The American Red Devils are abroad or concerned. Lifetime versus Palace, games 139, games drawn 12, games lost 19. As far as our first time we ever played them, 1922, Manchester United versus Crystal Palace in the second division. We won 2-1. Last five all over the place. We have two wins, one draw, two losses. Last time we played them, we beat them 1-0 in December. Nervy game there. Their season prior, remember they beat us early in the league and then we got a draw. So Palace has kind of been a boogeyman for us. It's unfortunate.
Dude, they're a good team. We got the shit kicked out of us by Brighton like a week ago. This team is just as good, if not better, than Brighton. If we don't show up, we'll likely get embarrassed. They're going to be playing at their home stadium, sir. That is the stadium that they use for whatever that show was on Apple TV that's gotten really popular with American football fans. Because it does
have...
Ted
Lasso.
Yeah, Ted Lasso. That's where, like, the training ground is actually like a seventh division team, but the pitch they play on for games is... It's Selhurst Park. It is Old English, sir. It feels like it. It feels like a box, but that place gets ripping when the home fans are in form. And they are. They're a good team. They're going to be coming out looking to embarrass United, bro, because everybody loves to embarrass United, the former giant. But the one thing that gives me hope is the new man is going to be in the stands, and he's going to be taking notes. Erik ten Hag, that guy's a maniac. The more I hear about Erik, the more I like about him, because he is a lunatic, and he will be taking notes about everything. So.
Save me the new manager hype train, honestly.
You're talking about quads with Liverpool. I got to give us something, sir. This is not like a sex masochism pod. It's got to be a positivity.
This is a prove it, dude.
Yeah, we're on 58 points, bro. About to end in the champion, the Europa Conference League, bro. To give us something.
All right, form coming in. Newcastle beat Crystal Palace 1-0. They drew Leeds. They beat Southampton 2-1. They beat Watford 1-0. They drew Villa. They are going to be playing Everton Thursday. So again, they're gonna have a tight turnaround. So another, we have seen United play against a team with a tight turnaround and get destroyed. So there is advantage United. We've had a lot of time off, so hopefully that will benefit us as far as, you know, having a spring in our step and just clinching that Europa League spot. Hans and Franz, we're back, baby. We've talked to them. They're revving up the remixes. The turntables are ready to go. A little history on Crystal Palace. Essentially, there's a debate around who's the oldest football club of all time. Crystal Palace has a shout at it. It's, I think, Wrexham also has a shout at it. But essentially, the club's origins, they can be traced as far back as 1861 when the amateur Crystal Palace football team was established at the Crystal Palace Exhibit Building, which has led to claims by the club that Crystal Palace should be recognized as the oldest professional football club in the world. after historians discovered a direct lineage through their ownership under the same Crystal Palace company. They play in South London. They sing the song. They are South London's number one, sir. The fans are going to be in full voice. In 1924, they moved to Selhurst Park. The club's colors are claret and blue until 1973, but then they decided to change to red and blue vertical stripes as worn today. And they're very similar to the Ted Lasso jerseys as well. They have a fierce rivalry with Brighton Hove and Albion, with whom they contest the M23 Derby, and they share rivalries with fellow South London clubs Millwall and Charlton Athletic. Millwall, what an institution in South London, but obviously Crystal Palace, they're top for the time being. Patrick Vieira, everyone should know him, famously fought with Roy Keane in the midfield against Arsenal for a bunch of years. They're playing the 5-3-2. Wilfred Zaha, we know him, right?
Yeah, that signing went well. That stadium feels like it hasn't been touched since 1924. Selhurst Park, it looks OG. So you get an old English experience. So they play physically. They play quickly. They're going to come out looking to do what they've been doing against United in recent memory. So this is a big game for United to at least, come on, let's end with our heads held high a little bit and say, hey, we've got something to build on next year. And they just played a game, but we haven't played a game in like 2 weeks. So I don't think that's going to serve us well either.
Injuries for United: Sancho's sick, Rashford's sick, Bailly lower back, Shaw, Pogba. That is it. You might be able to see Sancho or Rashford because obviously, hopefully, the 2 weeks they'll get better. There has been a bust up on the training ground, but I don't know. Given those are the dynamics, what is your starting 11 for Crystal Palace?
Here's what I got. I got world number one, De Gea in net, former Palace guy, AWB at right back, Lindelof, Ron Tellis, Matic, Fred, Bruno, Cavani, his send-off, Alanga, and Ronaldo.
Hey, Palace guy.
Hey, big Palace guy. What you got?
Hey, I got De Gea, Net, Delo, Lindelof, Varane, Telles, Matic, McTominay, Bruno, Sancho, Alanga, and Ronaldo. Yes, I will see Ronaldo play for Manchester United for the first time in my life. Cannot wait. I have seen him play multiple times, but never in a league game wearing the United shirt. So please, Ralf Rangnick, start Ronaldo.
I think he will. If he's trying to keep him, which I know he is because he wants to.
Well, it's like we got to make Europa League, so there's something to play for. So this isn't a write-off game, so you know he's got to be playing. Who else is going to score?
He needs reps, bro. You don't keep Cavs like that by like not playing. So he's going to be playing all 90 minutes. I'd like to see him up front with Cavani. We didn't get enough of that this season after being promised that. So those two up front would be fun to watch. So looking forward to it, sir. I'm not going to get as blotted as last time I went to Crystal Palace Stadium, but we're going to have a good time.
You know what? We're going to save that story for when we're in London. We're going to do a pod previewing Crystal Palace match. We'll give that story in detail.
You got it. You'll enjoy it.
Booking the bookies, Palace, they're plus 230, draw plus 250, and then United to win, obviously the favorites, plus 115. Given those the odds, what is your score prediction here?
Sir, 2-1. Classic comeback, you know, maybe outside the box screamer from Nemanja Matic, like old times. I don't think it's going to happen that way, but 2-1, you know, he gets all 3 points. Hansa Franz proper next year. What do you got?
4-1, Ronaldo hat trick. Let's go. Cannot wait to see it myself.
I would love to see that, sir. Last time I saw Ronaldo in the flesh, other than getting trounced against Liverpool, was he had a brace against old Wigan Wanderers back in 07. It's been a while.
Wigan Athletic. Let's go. United in the news. Wigan Wanderers is the Wigan Athletic. Come on.
No, I thought that was their mascot.
Know your clubs. Know your clubs, sir.
They haven't been in the EPL in a minute.
I know. Let's get into it. Erik ten Hag. He refuses to take a holiday and admits there's a lot of work to do at Manchester United. We were alluding at this earlier. He is apparently getting right into the thick of it. I'm sure he's watched some of these games, and it is like time to figure it all out. So he will be at Crystal Palace. We've reached out to his people, trying to do an exclusive interview for the podcast. We have not heard anything back, sir.
Still waiting.
I doubt we're going to hear anything back, but you know what? Maybe we'll see him in the crowd afterwards.
Sir, I mixed it up with Bolton Wanderers, who is their primary rival. The Wigan Athletic, nicknamed the Lactics, the Latics, or the Ticks, bro. Haven't seen them in a minute.
Hey, when we created our local football club here, Wigan Wanderers.
It's a mashup. It's a mashup.
That's a good name. So Ten Hag, he not taking any time off. Like you said, he's a lunatic. You love him. Give me the hype train on Ten Hag.
I'm a Muppet. I love this club, and I need some positivity headed into the summer, given how much I know about the people in charge that are going to enable him to be an effective football coach. So he's taking the job seriously. I think, if I remember correctly, not only did David Moyes like sack the entire lot of staff that was waiting for him when he showed up at Old Trafford, but he also took his summer break, if I remember correctly. Erik ten Hag, he's already doing meetings with John Murtaugh. They were in Amsterdam a couple of days ago with Murtaugh and a couple other individuals from front office. I think from your boy, technical director, Darren Fletcher. So he knows the task at hand.
Wait, he was meeting with the director of football, has no experience at all at being a director of football.
Our technical director and DOF and CEO have no experience doing what they're doing, sir. But Erik ten Hag has experience being a manager. So that's one out of four parts. That should not fail. But he's taking the job seriously, which is good to see. He's got a huge job. And what he's saying is assistant coach has been confirmed, Mitchell van der Gaar. They're working on Steve McLaren. It seems like that is being greenlit, you know, former assistant coach at Manchester United, like over 20 years ago. He wants him on the pitch. He wants him dealing with player development. Sir, I'm trying to be as positive as I can. I know the finances. I know the balance sheet. I know the Glazers. But the guy is the real deal. It seems like he's been given a certain level of autonomy and control that he's going to need to succeed. But we've been promised that shit before. So I'm being hopeful, but I don't want to be I'm not wearing rose-colored glasses and saying, like, oh, like, yeah, Richard Arnold is like a real, because there's this whole thing picking up in the Twitterverse about like how much of like a hot shit Richard Murtaugh is based on all the people leaving. And guess what? When we signed Paul Pogba and Romelu Lukaku, they were doing the same thing for Ed Woodward. So I'm not saying that. I'm getting excited about someone who's actually done shit in the footballing arena, not Richard Murtaugh, not Darren Fletcher. So I'm trying to be positive about Erik ten Hag. Let's get it behind the new man. He's got a lot of work to be done, but, you know, a lot of the work is outside of his hands. Or is the board going to be willing to take a hit on some of these players like you know that they're going to have to in order to move them?
Dutch coach, big deal, coming in. A lot of movement in the summer. Wants to bring in Dutch players. Oh, wants to play a certain way.
Van Gaal!
Have you seen this movie before?
Wait, let's save again.
And only in sex masochism, then it is allowed.
Right.
Long balls.
He's got so many good quotes. Yeah, but his style of football was totally different. But he did
not too much different. Not too much different.
He plays much faster. He plays much faster.
No. But if you think about it, it's like a lot of it is. It's exactly kind of possession. Like a lot of possession based. Obviously getting a lot of people forwards, overloads, right? The system is going to be one, like if you remember Van Gaal, when he was a coach, it took a little while for the players to adjust to the system. I would argue it almost took a season. So you're going to have a lot of turnover. Then you have bring in Dutch players, right? We remember Depay, Blind, Schneiderlin, was he Dutch
as
well?
He's
French, right? So as far as like, you know, you have a lot of incomings biased towards the Dutch league, and then you have a whole new style to play. And I think you're going to see the same type of season we saw under LVG, where everyone was really pumped. Everyone was really psyched about the transfers, the ins and outs, everyone hyped up. And then what transpired was a rough year on the pitch.
And I want to make comparisons of why those aren't equivalent. First of all, I'm hoping, I don't know, this could be wrong, but Van Gaal was terrible on recruitment. He brought in some of the most overpuffed and awful players like imaginable, bro. Like Schneiderlin was terrible. Depay couldn't cut it. But Rojo, like he wasn't good at signing. He got given a huge fucking transfer budget and like, you know, I think pissed it away. Brought in Schweinsteiger, who had no knees. I played like three games. My hoping is on recruitment, he's shown a much more astute eye at IX. You're definitely right. Like, this is definitely a Dutch approach. But he's also in a different part of his career. We knew LVG was, like, past his prime by the time we brought him in. I like to think that he's
World Cup final.
Yeah, for a Dutch side, but like he what was he doing in national teams? He was doing like what was he doing? I mean, at club side, nobody wanted to touch him other than the Dutch national team. So like, I don't think these are equivalent. Whereas we know some other big clubs are going after Erik ten Hag. It doesn't really matter at the end of the day because it's dependent on like his ability to work with front office to get players in and out, and most importantly, out. Like that's the biggest thing. Is like there are so many outs. We've talked about the outs. And that's not going to be all on Erik because, like, if he says, hey, get rid of Tony Martial and get rid of AWB and get rid of Harry Maguire, what's Richard Arnold going to do? You know?
Let's also, you know, I do believe, like, looking at Van Gaal coming in, right, Moyes finished seventh, right? Really rough year. Roughest year in a long time. Moyes, bad finish, fired. LVG comes in. All right, need to do a lot of deals. A lot of ins and outs, right? A lot of movement. And that destabilizes the squad because you kind of have to start from nothing, right? LVG, fourth. He got fourth that season. Boom. Top four. We're back, baby, right? I think everyone was like, okay, that's a great start.
And they stopped spending.
Then they stopped spending.
Right?
That was the Glazers,
as
right?
is tradition.
That was the Glazers, right? Then we got fifth, and then we won the FA Cup. Then he gets fired. So most of the issues with LVG, I would say, were probably the board, right? The board not having a director of football, letting him do whatever he wanted, then not backing him the second summer, and then firing him after what everyone could see, hey, we didn't like that style of football, but it was starting to yield results because we won the FA Cup. Obviously, fifth was a failure for United, but the moving goalposts of the board really were the issue there. And so LVG also said, don't take the job. To Erik ten Hag. I like Erik ten Hag, but as soon as they say Frankie Dejong, I'm like, oh no, here we go again. You know, because it's just gonna, you can't just be a Dutch coach and just buy Dutch players. Right. You gotta be a you have to be thinking a little more than that. And it just reminds me of LVG, and I get it. I just don't think like a move like Dejong is the move to then put Donny Dejong and try to Dutchify our team. I just see the same results from LVG a little bit. Gives me a little bit of that because everyone, we were really hype LVG coming in and we were really hype about the deals and it didn't go right. So the hype isn't always right. And so maybe I'm trying to be a little bit of a show me first before I get hype. You know, I need to see some results. I need to see this team fighting again. I just think it's going to be a longer transition than fans are going to be pumped to support because I think next year is going to be rough. I don't think we're going to get fourth. I think it's going to be hard to play this style. It's going to take two windows to get players, like obviously counting January, it's going to be take two summers, one winter to even get to a place where we can play the way he wants. And then that's like a full season, another write-off season.
I'm just trying to be positive. I'm not like thinking that Erik ten Hag is going to come in. I'm not as naive as I was in 2014. When we brought in LVG, thinking that like a manager is going to fit. This club is not going to be fixed by a manager alone. We talked about this so much on this pod, sir. It's not going to be. You could bring in prime Fergie, bro, 50-year-old Fergie, and he couldn't fix this club without help around him, right? And the same thing with Erik, same thing with LVG, Moyes, Mourinho, doesn't matter. It's like you're only as good as the footballing operation around you. So I want to be positive about Erik, but at the end of the day, it's like this summer is going to tell us everything. It's going to tell us everything because we know how much work has to be done. We know how many hits, how many like losses I'm talking about losses on players has to be taken this summer. And I don't think that board is going to be willing to take those losses. So it's like he's going to be dealing with not a lot of transfers because we know how limited the budget is. He's going to inherit players that like still want to leave. You know, he's going to, I find it hard to believe he's going to be able to like ship a Bailly, ship Martial, ship a Jones. They're still going to be hanging around overpaid. Dude, he's going to have limitations. So like you said, he's going to be fighting with two hands tied behind his back. I think fourth next season will be a great accomplishment. But really, it's going to be dictated based on how the summer goes because he's only one man and there's a lot of housekeeping to be done. So I think he's going to help point the way about this is the players that are legit. You know, I would hope Ralph has given him some insight and like, hey, these players are definitely not any good. You should get rid of them ASAP. But is the board going to be willing to actually listen to their new man or just say, yeah, sure, bud. Worry about us signing like the next, you know, blockchain thing to put on the sleeve.
No, of course. And you also have to think about it, like, the board managing up is a risk, but the players managing down is a risk, because the article is starting to come out about how the players are starting to throw Rangnick under the bus, right? Because Rangnick's comments, they're saying the training standards are too low and all this stuff. So the players are already, they threw Ole under the bus, and there's a faction of them that are starting to, like, leak. Like everyone's starting to blame Rangnick, which is why they haven't been playing well, et cetera. So,
have you heard that before?
No, I know, but what happens if Ten Hag comes in and has like a no nonsense attitude and like really makes the players work hard, and they have these poopy pants mentality, and then they start throwing them under the bus, and then they start performing like I think under Ten Hag you're gonna have he's gonna be tested, like these players, you're gonna try to get rid of like a lot of them, but you're not gonna get rid of McGuire, you're not gonna get rid of Luke Shaw, you're not gonna get rid of like a lot of softies on the team, and he's gonna come in, he's gonna try to change it. I know he's gonna try, and there's gonna be a fight for power. There's gonna be a struggle for power. The players are gonna push that line, and then that could be at a low point where the team's not playing well, and the players don't like the way he wants to play. Like you even saw it with Rangnick, and then what happens then? Like that is where Ten Hag is gonna be tested. The summer is going to be a good indicator of what happens from managing up, but managing down is going to be like, what happens when it goes wrong? What happens when playing the style or like playing poorly and the players don't like working this hard? It's like, this is a tall order, and it's not anti-Hag. It's just tough place to go fix. Manchester United right now is absolutely a mess, and anyone fixing it. So, like, if Ten Hag came to it and we were doing well, like, yeah, I think he's probably the guy. But, like, this is a proper mess. And the only light I can see right now that I'm getting hype about is it looks like Cristiano Ronaldo is taking photos in our jersey next year. And the rumor is he is excited to stick around and see what the future under Ten Hag holds. And that means that he wants to get paid, and no one else will pay him that money that United will play. And that means Ronaldo will be at United one more year. If there's anything to look forward to, I'm looking forward to that.
There's also a buyout rumor circulating. It hasn't really been validated by any like proper top tier sources. But that is also something of encouragement. But another thing that we didn't even make the news, sir, is that like the players were expected back like the first weekend, I think it was, like the June 4th. And he's like, no, I want everybody back 2 weeks early just to get in shape for training camp. And that's what I like to see. So like you said, there's going to be so much. So the noise about throwing
but remember
Ralph.
Ole?
The
noise Ole did that though.
But he wasn't even a real manager.
No, but hold on. Remember the whole thing when Ole got appointed permanent manager and he bottled top four and then he blamed it on fitness and he said next year we're going to be the fittest club in the English Premier League. And then like he never talked about fitness ever again and we looked atrocious and had the lowest running stats before he got fired. Like how'd that go with the players? You know what I'm saying? That gives you like a clue. Like Ole wanted us to be fit. Who didn't want to do the work?
The players. But didn't we finish in the second the year after that? I mean, he had a good finish. I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying, but like this is an actual coach who's done it at clubs and won stuff. You know, we can talk all day long about the Ole appointment and why that was made and all the shortcomings there. But like, I think this noise is going to come out a lot sooner. Like you said, players thrown under the bus. That will go until he has kind of like cleaned this squad out, which will take years, as you said. It will take four transfer windows, two summers, knowing minimum.
And the board has to back him. Absolutely. Like, you know, you look at the Scouse Bastards and Klopp runs that show top to bottom.
He does.
Like he's and you need to have that dynamic. You have to find that guy, you have to have that dynamic. Next bit of news here. You love to see this one. Two senior Manchester United players allegedly pulled apart as feisty training session ends early in wake of their humiliating 4-0 loss. Apparently, this was Lingard. The rumor is Lingard-Maguire. Maguire going hard at Lingard about his brother's post on social media. Obviously, we covered that as well. Maguire-Lingard going at it. It feels like these players should have been fighting about 5 months ago to figure out this row within the squad.
No, totally. Like, I would have liked to see more fight out of either player, especially our captain, months ago. Like, when we were in the
Love it from Harry here.
I do like it.
Harry
did this? I need more of this. Like, this is what I'm talking about. Like, I want fucking...
Yeah, dude.
I want Harry in Greece, like, throwing bottles just... Because he shouldn't be a captain. He should just be a hard-nosed defender that, like, beats the shit out of players.
No, but this is captain material.
That's
like,
it. You know that's what? More like it. It's like Roy
too,
Keane.
Too late. But, you know, he called. If this is true, the rumors are true, and he called out Jesse in front of the squad, and they went at it. It's like, yes.
That's great.
And Jesse Lingard is like, you know, I sir, we don't need to, like, just...
Sir.
you know, it's just not, like, sir,
not to speak.
Sorry,
if I, speak, I am in big trouble.
I'll tell you, Jesse trouble. Lingard, take that. Take that bad goatee. You know, if you don't have somebody telling you, being like, you know, that's a rough look. You know, it's like, come on, man, you're not 17 anymore. It's time to grow up.
Yeah. He's almost 30, bro. And like you said, Lingard's leaving. Thank goodness. Should have left a long time ago. Maguire, he ain't leaving anytime soon, given the price tag. But there's a player there. Like, he's not going to be an $80 million player, but he's a $40 million player on a good day. Like, we know he can play well.
I don't know. Not in the high line.
Rip
not
the
in
cap.
The high line.
Yeah, well, he is slow
not
as shit. He is like me, bro. He's like, he is so slow. He's like turning like the Titanic.
I don't
that little ass runner.
I don't think the way Ten Hag, if you watch how he wants to play, Maguire doesn't really fit in because he wants to play high line. So at the end of the day, like, Ten Hag's got to figure it out. If this was Maguire, good on him. Obviously, we addressed the Frankie De Jong rumors. I think that's pretty big. Also, Eric Ramsey, the set piece specialist, is going to be sticking around as well under Ten Hag, which I think is, despite us being bad at set pieces, he seems like a good coach. And then the big one we want to address here is the rumor around Jim Ratcliffe and a potential purchase of Manchester United. You know, there's a lot of rumors around here. There's no source to this. Absolutely none. Jim Ratcliffe did an interview about buying Chelsea. He did put in sort of a £4.5 million bid, big money for Chelsea. And at the end of the day, he did the interview and he said, well, why don't you buy Manchester United? That is the club you liked when you were a child. And he said, Manchester United is not for sale. Now, apparently he's not a public man. So this interview that he gave was kind of strange because it didn't look like he was going to win the Chelsea bid. He came in late. So maybe there's a little bit of a conspiracy. Maybe he tabled this bid to try to get the Glazers thinking. Maybe he said that, you know, Manchester United is not for sale, to maybe get the Glazers to kind of come out from hiding.
We are for sale. Buy us.
You know, obviously Manchester United is a public company as far as disclosures around M&A activity. I mean, me and Alex both worked in investment banking. You know, you wouldn't hear anything about it. So the rumors are just pure speculation. But let's put it this way. I've always said on this podcast, the problem for the Glazers is who is going to buy the club. Who can pay that amount of money? $4.5 billion, $5 billion. Who? Well, guess who? Jim Ratcliffe can.
He can.
And that's a big. And guess what? He signaled his intention to Chelsea. So what does that mean? That means that there is a potential buyer of Manchester United that's out there. Now that's a big deal for multiple reasons. The Glazers, like I said, Malcolm Glazer bought the club with a ton of debt. He died and he passed it away in a trust-like manner to his Glazer children. They all own a piece of it. This structure of ownership is not meant for a long term. They're not going to pass it down to their grandkids because it gets more complicated because the voting stock is then divided even more and even more. And then that situation, albeit can happen, it's sort of unsustainable. They are going to sell it before in some term because they're, what, 60 years old? I mean, they can't hold on to it forever, right? They're going to need to cash in on Manchester United. The stock is worth about, you want to talk about enterprise basis, probably $2.6, $2.7 billion, so a $4.5 billion offer. You know, you're looking at a good return from the Glazers. United compared to Chelsea, Chelsea's close to that $500 million revenue mark. United is more than that $650 million revenue mark, right? So you're obviously going to have to account for the difference in revenue as far as what price you're going to pay. Chelsea loses money. Manchester United makes money. So what premium would the Glazers actually want? So you're maybe looking at $5.5 billion. So to say that there's a deal going on, it ain't. But there's a guy who has a big checkbook, about $10.5 billion, and he's interested in buying football clubs in England. And yes, he was a fan, and yes, he'd be a better owner than the Glazers. So the Glazers, there's a whale there. Can they get a deal done? Maybe. This stuff takes time. Even if he signals his interest, it could take 2 years. Who knows? I'm just saying there's a possibility, but nothing concrete, no true rumors, no discussions that we know about. But I always said the hardest part to sell is who's going to buy it. Richest man in England. Apparently he likes Manchester United. So is it game on? We'll see.
It's no apparently about it. He is a longtime United follower. He polished the turd a little bit when he tried to lean in and buy the Chelsea Blues, speaking about football and heritage, how it was important to protect Chelsea as a footballing institution for the country. For the sake of England, it is important to protect it and be owned by an English person that will truly appreciate its worth and its value to the country as a whole. Sir, fuck Chelsea. Manchester United is a football institution. It is a proper institution that means so much beyond just England. It means so much to people globally. So my hope was that in the process of Chelsea getting acquired, there'd be other people sharpening the pencils that just have put enough work together to talk about like the values of buying a club. Obviously, United is going to be worth more, even though Chelsea are better run. They're in a better situation at the moment.
Not financially, no. United, so actually, if you look at it...
I meant football and operations.
For, like they, talking about EBITDA, I'm talking about, you know, you want to measure free cash flow. United actually do free cash flow, quite a bit of money, and Manchester United is, like, Chelsea are at least £150 million in revenue off Manchester United where they could fund this an operation like Manchester United. That's a lot. And so, United, you're buying the cash flow, and that is going to be a significantly higher valuation than buying a club that loses money. Now, Chelsea, what they're going to see is the private equity fund that bought them, they're going to start not spending a lot of money, and they're going to kind of regress to where their top line is. Because at the end of the day, they were funded with £1.5 billion of laundering money from Roman Abramovich. So that was just like a freebie they got that they're not going to see any more of. And by the way, Lukaku looks awful for them, so you got to love that.
Well, that 650 can get a lot higher, sir, right? Like, this is an appreciating asset with fucking TeamViewer on the front. Like, if this team...
Scouse-Bastards, their sponsorship deals, you want to talk about how you look at the market and the Glazers, this is the era they made. You want to talk about the TeamViewer deal. You want to talk about the sponsorship deals that we're doing. The value of our deals are going down, and the value of the Scouse-Bastards deals are going up. Standard Charter is going to break the kit sponsorship worldwide record, rumored, and they'll be more valuable than Manchester United, and then they'll be able to stay at the top longer. So the 10 years that Glazers have run this club is actually eroding the value of our brand and going to hurt revenue. So the Glazers should be looking to sell. I mean, they're not going to put money in the stadium. They're not going to put money in the squad. Some guy wants to offer $5 billion, like, take it. It's like it's easy. The motivation should be there. The time is to invest is now. They're not going to do it.
Not only that, he wanted to put $1.5 billion. He wanted to put $1.5 billion beyond the $4.5 billion to buy the club. He wanted to put $1.5 billion into the club, which is probably exactly what Manchester United need. That's only the point I was trying to get at. We're at $650 million in revenue, and the club is fucking like rudderless, bro. We're gonna finish in Conference League. Imagine if we were back to the top, competing for titles, winning Champions Leagues. Like Chelsea, you know, they won the Champions League last year. We would be much higher because you wouldn't be having TeamViewer on the front. You'd have a Chevrolet equivalent. That's all I was trying to say is like there's so much more that you could squeeze out of United once you got things back together, which is kind of our argument to the Glazers in the first place. If you ran it well, it would be even more valuable. But instead, they've just run it like a piggy bank.
Well, and also just honest, open, honest communication.
Yeah.
Right. So if you're going through a transition, you need to communicate that. You need to communicate why. If you're going to change the capital structure of the team and reduce the debt instead of buying players, you say, hey, this is a transition. We want to be able to reduce the debt so that we can invest in a stadium. Like there's goals here that you can communicate to the fan base that makes sense. But the Glazers decide to deny till you die, you know, which is a famous New Jersey slogan there. As far as fan questions go, I put up the question on Discord. From Devin here, do you think Erik ten Hag's presence will have any impact on the match at Crystal Palace?
Probably not. I like to think so. You know, I think if we didn't have him coming, we maybe get blitzed. There's still a chance that we get blitzed because this team has been like sleepwalking since October. I like to think that like for the players that know they're going to be around next season and the players who actually give a shit, you know, I'm talking like the Ronaldo camps. And I like to think, you know, De Gea and maybe Bruno and maybe Alanga, like they're going to go out there and I would think look to impress the new man. So I do think we'll have an influence, maybe not an outsized influence, but I'm trying to be hopeful and thinking that like, okay, there's a new sheriff in town. I know we've seen a lot of sheriffs in this town over the last 10 years, but if they can't get motivated, sir, then they shouldn't be there in the first place. So that would be like a great first test. If like people are walking around in this game where the manager is just like breathing over their shoulders, then they should get the hook first thing.
So as far as I think it will, I think it's going to have a big impact. You know, he's going to meet the players for sure. I mean, I would have to think that he would go down you know, meet them before or after the game in some way, and the players would know that that's happening. You have to think of like the players like Delo, the players in the bubble, right? The players playing to stay at Manchester United.
Sauce.
At the end of the day, like, they're going to want to impress him, and he's in the stands. I think it's definitely going to turn it up a little bit. Crystal Palace will want to play spoilers. They're going to come out. Patrick Vieira doesn't like United.
Nope.
So they're going to show up. And they played decent against Chelsea, so they're not an easy side. Hyper, quote, will Erik ten Hag's play style suit the lads, and will it affect on certain players who tend to struggle with other gaffers' play style? So I guess he's saying, will the new play style suit the lads, and will it affect certain players who struggled under different play styles?
I think it will suit some of the lads. It will certainly not suit all of the lads. The players that you kind of talked about, soft serve, England, FC, I like to think that there's a body in Harry Maguire, but like, he likes to play a very aggressive style, high line, like you mentioned, like high work rate.
He's got to lose some weight, you know?
Dude, everyone's got to lose some weight, like, because they're going to run their asses off, and that's going to be the thing. So I think the players that have a long-term, like, sticking power with the club, it will suit them. The players who are like, or it's obvious that they're not going to make it, I think will, because they cannot keep up with the style he's going to be looking to play, because it's going to be a big departure from like sad sack FC we've seen for the last 50 fucking games. People just walking around, bro, like 20 minutes into it, like they couldn't give a shit. Because I have a feeling, based on what I've heard about this man, that he is not going to put up with that, because apparently he loves to just like go into players mid-game if they're not doing what he tells them to do, because he's very deliberate about his instructions for each player and what he expects of them. And what I think we've seen, like, when Ralph came in, substitute teacher, is like, they weren't listening to him, bro. They're like, fuck you, dude. They were just walking around like not listening to him. And I think you kind of saw that in how candid Ralph's interviews got towards the end, where he was just like, I don't care what these people think about me.
At Homie Atlas, quote, do you think over the summer Erik ten Hag will only bring in young lads when they play preseason games over the summer, and if so, who do you think will do the best? So he's talking about bringing young kids on preseason, and who do you think will do well? They go to Australia, right, for preseason?
Yeah, they go to Southeast Asia and Thailand, I think, too. You know, I like to think that maybe like Hannibal, I think there's a player there. He's got a grit that really has impressed me whenever I've seen him play for the U23s. Jimmy, like, does Jimmy Garner, like, does he get a chance, or does he just get sent back on loan? You know, that would be an interesting one to watch, like, because we do need his player style, kind of like the Carrick-type mold, but does he need another season? Probably. Can he get more out of Alanga? Can he get more out of Rashford? Can he get more out of McSauce? I think he can get more out of Fred if you put someone behind him, but it's so early, sir. Like, that, like, you know, us playing Liverpool in Bangkok is not going to really be a great indication.
Also, the last one here from Charlie says, on the Jimmy Gardner point, can Jimmy Gardner make the jump to the first team and supplant one of Fred or McSauce next season?
I think it's a big ask when you've been playing in the championship. You know, he's been one of the better players in the championship.
Yep.
He made the team of the year. I'm not saying he's a solid player, but I think he probably needs like one more season in the Premier League. Like, if not
Europa League. Europa League is a good spot for him to be playing, you know what I'm saying? Because you got to be trying him out with Fred and with McSauce in the Europa League, seeing if he can handle it, right? I think that's a good, you know, you can look at Europa League and be like, if you use it right as a manager, you can get looks and then give him shots. He'll get shots. If the board bottle the signings, we don't get another midfielder, like, he'll get shots. Look, that's it. That's the podcast. We give you a quick preview of what we got planned. American Red Devils Abroad. We used to do this all the time. If you're an OG in the podcast, you know we travel to London at least once, twice a year. Obviously, kids, COVID, everything. We haven't been in a while. So what we do is, traveling out Thursday, we land Friday. We'll drop a podcast Friday. We're going to be talking about Selhurst Park, what we got planned for the weekend. Obviously, Alex telling the infamous story. He went to Selhurst Park with that Mourinho 3-2 comeback. Few too many dark ales, sir.
Just
few. You gotta be wary.
More,
you know,
dark ales than
United
pies.
You get a little too excited. You know, hard to remember the match. I remember the winner, you said.
That's all I remember. I'll tell you what, I didn't do that for the Liverpool game. I probably should. I should have drank
that
as much
game,
as
yeah.
That game, 5-0. I should have drank more for that.
So we'll give you a pod Friday when we land. Just give it like a quick one, talking about being back in London, what we got planned. We're going to be going to the Sunderland Wycombe League One Championship final at Wembley on Saturday.
Let's go.
And it's going to be like proper old English football. Cannot wait. Winner gets into the championship. And then Sunday, we're actually running a half marathon. That was my idea.
Yeah, your idea. So, not meat pie idea. It wasn't my idea.
No, it was not your idea. So we're going to do the half marathon Sunday morning. Then we're going to the Crystal Palace game at 4 p.m. And then we're heading back Tuesday. And we will probably get a podcast out, I want to say, Monday.
Leisurely?
Sunday, Monday, yeah, Monday. Depending how beat up we are after the half marathon, probably Monday.
Probably Monday.
We'll record Friday, drop a pod Friday, and then we'll drop another one Sunday, Monday. And then that is the season. Then we'll be back in the Bay stateside. We'll be doing the season recap. We'll get the survey we do, end of the season survey out to everybody. And that's the season. So a lot to play for, a lot to root against as far as the Scouse Bastards are concerned. So, I mean, I'll tell you what, I'm nervous. I'm nervous for a conference league. I'm nervous for the Scouse Bastard quad shout. A lot of stuff going on. And as soon as it's all over and our treble is held in the heavens as the greatest accomplishment in all of English football and Manchester United sits on that throne, I will be able to sleep like a baby. But until then, nervous.
You should be. Plenty to be nervous about. I'm more nervous about finishing the half marathon and then getting myself to South London for that game.
Few dark ales, you'll be feeling fine.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to have more than a few. I think what the real rule is, so they're at two pieces of silverware right now. That's a two-week break. For every additional piece of silverware, I'm going to add a week break to your summer vacation. If they go four, you're going to need 4 weeks off.
Yeah, I know.
This guy needs an ice bath.
We shall see. Look, if you like the America Red Devils, we're for fans by fans. Check out our Discord. Check out our website, www.americaredevils.com. Write a review wherever you listen. Helps us out. And support us on Patreon. Alex, you want to give us the top 10 downloads last 7 days?
Absolutely. Number one, how you doing? I've heard of you before. Manchester, UK, top of the list. Appreciate you. Monroe, Louisiana. Charlotte, North Carolina. Columbus, OH. Mid-Lithonia, Virginia. New York, New York. Houma, Louisiana. Kanata, Canada. What a name. Rochester, Michigan. And last but not least, Haddonfield, New Jersey. We also got Santos, Domingo, Este, Dominican Republic. Appreciate all the American Devils listening week in, week out. We cannot do it without you, sir. Sirs and siresses. Been a long season, but it's coming to a close. Let's hope United can end on a high and some of our rivals can't match our history.
All right, next time we're going to talk to you, we'll be on the other side of the pond. Cannot wait. What song you got for us today, Alex?
20 times, Man United, sir. Why not?
Let's go.
Enjoy your week, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.